Blog Talk Radio.
I didn't know about this Billy Dib news. That was a surprise to me.
Yeah. I think I might have taken that one off, but yeah, he's got lymphoma. Crazy, man. Yeah. Non-Hodgkin's, you know. There's a lot they can do. So that's good news. That's what my dad has, you know, and they've.
Oh, he has that. Okay.
Same thing.
I didn't know if it was identical.
Yeah. Are you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call in, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about the WBC stepping out of line again, and we'll talk about that later, but right now, we're going to get to it. ESPN Plus, Janibek Alemkanouli versus Denzel Bentley for the WBO middleweight title. Alemkanouli wins a unanimous decision over Denzel Bentley by the scores of 116-112 twice and 118-110. Steve, I want to ask you real quick before we start breaking this down. I saw a lot of people after this fight talk about Janibek's all hype now, this and that. And, you know, he has one, you know, and you, I don't even know that you can call it a bad outing. It's 8-4, you know. The guy was durable. The guy, you know, that all that being said, why is he getting so much hate over this fight that he won? I don't understand why. Where does the hate come from here?
Here's the thing. I thought the fight was a good fight. I thought both fighters did good things in there. I thought Janibek was more consistent. I saw Janibek make adjustments. I saw a lot of good things from Janibek. I think after the, you know, clearly won the first four rounds. I think you could give the fifth round to, what was his name, the guy again?
Who are you talking about? Alemkanouli or Denzel Bentley, the guy from the UK?
Bentley. I forgot his name there for a second. No disrespect to him.
Well, there's no reason to remember it, I guess.
Yeah, but Bentley, I thought he came back in the fifth. But here's the thing. The rounds that I thought there was two clear rounds for Bentley, rounds 5 and 11. And then other rounds that he won, you could argue that they were swing rounds. So did Bentley make an adjustment and then force Janibek to have to make an adjustment to his adjustment? Because that's what I saw. I thought that, you know, Bentley was kind of laying back the first four rounds, wasn't very active, wasn't throwing a lot of punches. I thought he had a hard time picking up on Janibek's feints. Janibek, I do think, is very versatile. He varies up the shots. He mixes things up really well. I don't think he's predictable. But after that fourth round, when there wasn't much coming back at him, you know, he decided that he was gonna try to take Bentley out of there. But then Bentley kind of bit down on his mouthpiece, was moving a little bit, and he started coming forward and he started throwing more punches himself, and he became more aggressive. So I think he caught Janibek off guard. But I thought Janibek made adjustments to that. You know, like I said, the fifth round, Bentley won, but then Janibek came back and won the sixth and seventh. The eighth round was kind of close, could have gone either way, I thought. I gave it to Bentley. The ninth round I thought was close, could have gone either way. I gave that one to Bentley. And then Janibek had a good 10th round. And then, you know, I thought Bentley came back and won the 11th, but then Janibek came back and won the 12th. So, like I said, you know, just because Bentley did better than what was expected, he still lost the fight. I think Janibek still did good things in there. So both guys had good performances. I don't think this was a case of one guy not being good, another guy being good. I what I did like was how Janibek finished the 12th round. I thought he did very well. And Bentley has nothing to hold his head about. But if this is the type of performance that Jennebeck needs to get these other guys to fight him, then good for him. I mean, this was a win-win for everybody all around. I thought Jennebeck could look at this and take it as a learning experience, as Buddy McGirt said. Buddy McGirt mentioned that, you know, there was times in the fight where he thought Jennebeck was just throwing one punch at a time, trying to get Bentley out of there. But in that 12th round, he really hurt Bentley. And it looked like he may have been able to take him up if it want. But once again, you know, every now and then a fighter just, you know, rises to the occasion and it just digs down deep and takes it to another level. And this could have just been one of those nights for Bentley. No disrespect to Jennebeck, but Bentley just really rose to the occasion. And I think he caught Jennebeck off guard, but I still think Jennebeck reacted well to the difficulty of this fight, to the ebbs, you know, to the ebbs and flows of this fight, to the, you know, to the changes and adjustments that Bentley made. I thought this was a very entertaining fight. I thought both guys did a good job in spots. So is Jennebeck the boogeyman? Does he need to be? Does he have to be the boogeyman? Does he have to be Julian the Hawk Jackson? I mean, does he have to? I mean, he put out a good performance, and he showed versatility in this performance. And he did what he had to do to win the fight, and he came back strong, and finished the fight strongly, and looked like he possibly had Bentley in trouble in that last round, and credit to Bentley for holding on and coming back himself. So you couldn't have asked for a better fight, in my opinion. And because Bentley did not fight like a 20-1 underdog like he was listed as, I take that as a bonus, right? So I'm not disappointed. And now maybe one of these other middleweights will get in the ring with Jennebeck, because there was a reason why Demetrius Andre didn't want to fight him. Did Demetrius Andre make a mistake by not taking the fight with Jennebeck? Would Jennebeck have fought differently against Andre? Obviously, possibly so. So
who knows? Let's face this. Listen, I don't know about you. I have never heard of Denzel Bentley coming in here.
Yeah,
I forgot his name,
with all due respect to him.
I wouldn't feel that bad about it. But, I mean, you know, we don't know what he's capable of. We've never seen him before. How about he just had a good outing? You know, I mean, why does that have to be Jennebeck sucks now, or he's a hype job and all this other stuff? You know, it's just, come on, guys.
I mean, Charlo had a bad, you know, a less than stellar performance against Montiel, right? So all these guys, Golovkin had a tough fight with Derevchenko in a fight he was supposed to win handily. So this stuff happens. So
Louis Reyes says Floyd or Yellowstone tonight. Floyd's already fought, so you can do Yellowstone, I guess. Am I in the minority here? Have you ever watched that show, The Yellowstone?
Never.
I've never seen it. I couldn't even tell you what it's about. Couldn't even tell you what it's about. But a lot of people seem to like it. I don't know. All right. So that was on ESPN Plus. On DAZN, the main event here, the guy from Ohio, Montana Love, who was, quite frankly, screwed by the referee here. You know it, I know it, and I'm here to let you know about it, okay? This was unbelievable as, you know, so Steve Sparks upsets Montana Love by disqualification in the sixth round. It to add insult to injury, it was in Cleveland, Montana Love's hometown. Steve Sparks knocked Love down in the second round, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, it didn't even look like that great of a knockdown to me. He probably tripped over something. I don't know. You know, but clearly an Ohio fighter is not going to get knocked down that easy.
I'm going to lose my lunch.
Oh, stop. I actually had Spark ahead at the time of the DQ. In the sixth round, that's where right at the beginning of the sixth round, they went in and clashed heads. And that opened up a cut above, it looked like it was on the side of his left eye beam. It didn't look, I'll be honest, it didn't look like it was in that bad of a place. Up here on the brow, on the eyelid, But on the side, that blood, I don't believe is going to affect his vision too much. Am I wrong here?
I thought the cut was inconsequential, in my opinion. It was, like you said, on the side. It wasn't that big. It was going down, you know, going down his cheek. I didn't think it was, you know, being a problem for his vision at all. I didn't think it was a problem at all, in my opinion. I just did it. And the doctor didn't think so either because he sent them back out there.
Well,
like,
no, the doctor said, hey, look, we, you know, we're going to give him one or a few more minutes. He said, because he says, Montana says, now this, okay. When he went back to the doctor, Montana says, I can't see. Right there, the fight's over. Am I wrong? Steve, if I tell the doctor I can't see, should the fight be over?
To be honest with you, the doctor didn't believe him. The doctor didn't believe him. And you know what the doctor said to him? The doctor said to him, why don't you go out there and let's see what happens. The doctor didn't believe him. Because it made no logical sense that he couldn't see. The cut was here. It was going down his face. The doctor didn't believe him. And he said, like, it was obvious what he was trying to do. You know, he was in his hometown. He knew the fight was close. Could have been a draw or whatever, or he may have been up.
I don't know what the scorecards were.
I do.
What were they?
One judge had him up 48-46. The other two had it even.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
So it would have been a draw.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Now,
that's
another
horrible.
Thing. Another thing that he was probably thinking when
how did you have him up? Did you have Love up?
I had Spark up 48-46.
Yeah, I did too. I had Spark up, and I mean he had that knockdown and everything like that. I mean,
I had it 3-2.
Plus with the knockdown, Spark. Right?
Yeah. Now, could you make an argument that maybe you could have given the third round to Love? Possibly. Then you would have had it even. I don't see how you could have had Love up, but Love. You could tell in the fifth round the tide was changing, and Love looked very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and
he looked uncomfortable during the fight. If you want to be honest, I mean,
yeah,
he never really looked good.
Yeah, and then this whole thing about, you know, oh well, Spark was fighting rough. Come on, bro.
Well, it's a fight.
A fight, bro.
It's a fight, and they complain about elbows and everything like that. Listen, I didn't see anything wrong with the way Spark was fighting. Spark was getting in there. He was pressuring him, and he made him uncomfortable. There was no, you know, I didn't see any dirty tactics, put it that way.
And one judge gave Love the fifth round, which was disgusting. There's no way Love won the fifth round. That's where the fight was really, really turning in the fifth. And you could clearly see what Love did at the end of that fight, and for anyone to defend it, Eddie Hearn, once again, just shut your fucking mouth.
Eddie Hearn is the worst. Is the worst.
Just don't talk anymore. All you got to do is look at the instant replay. You could clearly see he locks him. He locks him on the hip with his right arm. And then he takes the left arm, clearly pushes him and throws him over. Right?
Let's talk about that, because after these two guys, he goes to the doctor and he tells the doctor, I can't see, but I'm willing to go. And the doctor says, you know, well, if you can't see, you know, he says, well, I'll try, blah, blah, blah. They send him back out there, and immediately Love goes through, wraps him up, drives him to the ropes. You can watch him with his right hand push the top rope down. He's got his other hand, and you can see him muscle him over the ropes. Clearly, there's no disputing this. The guy didn't throw himself over. The guy didn't fall over. The guy was helped over. He was clearly thrown out of the ring, over the top rope. Like this was like Survivor Series or something like that. You know what I mean?
And 9 out of 10 times, guys that happen in a situation when they fall out of the ring, they don't land on their feet like Spark did. He was lucky. What if he lands on his head?
Right.
What if he lands on his
You know how big of a
back?
Lawsuit that is? I mean, he could have been hurt. He could have been hurt,
and then,
man.
And then I love what the referee did. He
immediately.
When Love's trainer went at him, goes, What if that was your guy that got thrown out of the ring? What would you have had me do? What would you want to happen?
Right? Immediately, that ref disqualified him. I don't even know that he hit the floor before he disqualified him. And that was the way it's supposed to be. You cannot do that. Eddie Hearn comes out and says, we'll dispute it on Monday because it was a poor decision. He acted way too fast.
Fuck out of here.
Are you stupid? You saw what everybody else saw. Are you crazy?
And then he goes, I don't have to see the replay. I saw it happen in front of me. Dude, it was obvious that he did it on fucking purpose. And I'm going to go one further. He tried to injure that man so he couldn't continue, in my opinion. And again, this is my opinion. I'm going to stand on it. And then he was hoping that the referee would think, oh, it was an accident. And then it would have been a no contest. When plan A went out the window, that was plan B. He was going to do anything. I'm going to quote Pauly Malignaggi when he was making an assessment of Devin Alexander versus Tim Bradley. If there was a helicopter and they dropped a rope ladder down there, he would have climbed out of there just to get the fuck out of the fight. That's what Pauly Malignaggi said about Devin Alexander.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not going to insult the guy, whatever. If he didn't want to fight anymore, he didn't want to fight anymore. But he did show poor character.
Oh, he absolutely did. He absolutely did.
You can't objectively say he did not show poor character.
And they could not have deducted points for that. That was an automatic disqualification. He was intentionally thrown over the ropes. This wasn't like the Nassim. Who was Nassim fighting? Remember the Nassim fight? Maybe it was Kevin Kelly or something like that, where he came over the top and Nassim just kind of did that flip on him or whatever, and he landed, you know what I mean? And that was a hard flip. It could have been.
Technically. Nacho was right. He could have taken points.
He absolutely could have. He did the right thing. You cannot deduct points for that.
Yeah.
You can't deduct points for that. I mean, it was insane. So Montana Love says afterwards, he said he was using dirty roughhouse tactics all night, and I pushed him off me. I didn't lift him up or throw him out of the ring. We wanted to tire him out and catch him later on, and that's where it was going. I want to do it again. He can't outbox me or outfight me. Let's do it again. Eddie Hearn said it was a bad decision. Montana was rough, but he didn't intentionally throw him out of the ring. And Steve got back into the ring and wanted to keep fighting. Referees have a tough job, but that was a poor decision and one made too quickly. This was like really
fine too. He should get fined too for doing what he did. He intentionally tried to hurt that guy. He intentionally. There's no way you're gonna throw someone over the top like that and knowing that there's concrete on the other side of that.
Right.
How does that end? Any person, how does that end when you throw someone over the top rope like that when there's concrete on the other side of it? How does that end if he doesn't land on his feet?
Yeah.
You know you're going to injure the guy. You know there's no way you're not going to injure the guy if he doesn't land on his feet. He intentionally tried to fucking hurt that guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. Absolutely.
So he couldn't continue. There's no doubt in my mind that he didn't intentionally try to hurt that guy, so he couldn't continue. Hoping the referee would just say it was an accident, right? And it would be a no contest, right?
This was honestly one of the most despicable acts I've seen from a fighter. It really was. You know, Love should be suspended. He should be fined. You know, it was awful. I mean, honestly, I've never been a big fan of Montana Love. I've always thought he was more sizzle than steak. And this kind of just proves it, to be honest with you. He's always been more show than go, put it that way.
Graceful, man.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I really don't understand it. Floyd Mayweather fought on DAZN today. I believe it was today. And was this like a two-day affair? I heard that Ricky Hatton fought also. Maybe he fought an exhibition with Barrera. I don't know.
I don't think this had anything to do with the Mayweather. Hatton didn't have anything to do. But I got to say one thing. Hatton, oh, my God. He looked body-wise and everything, he looked just like he looked when he was fucking fighting.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
He looked phenomenal. Credit to him. He got in incredible shape.
Yeah.
My hat goes off to Ricky Hatton. Wow.
That's insane. That's crazy, man. But Floyd fought that YouTuber Deji. Knocked him out in the fifth round. Yeah, it was very hard fought a YouTuber, huh? Tommy Fury was on the card also. He was heckled throughout the fight by Jake Paul. In fact, Tommy Fury had to fight somebody different because Tommy Fury couldn't make weight. And then he ended up fighting the exhibition like 2 minute rounds with this other guy. So yeah, it was just a
embarrassment.
Yeah, it was embarrassment. I don't know what other words we can use that match, but yeah, embarrassment is right up there.
You can't dress this one up.
No, you really can't. Yeah, what is that? You can't put lipstick on a pig, you know. So there you go. Let's see here. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here. On the Zone, November 19th, Jaime Munguia versus Gonzalo Gaston Correa, 10 rounds middleweights, and that's it, guys. That is it. How about that? Why is Jaime Munguia fighting this guy? Why are they not stepping him up?
I have no idea.
I don't understand.
It's got to be something that they're hesitant about. They see something in Munguia that they're concerned about, and they just want to continue to move him along slowly. That's the only way, Joe Calix, shout out to him. He always says that whenever a guy's moved, this way, even with Tank, Tank's kind of been moved carefully. The team must have some reservations about the guy. They must not be 100% confident in the guy.
Yeah.
Because look at Lomachenko. They threw him in there with the Wolves right away. They knew he was the goods.
Yeah, I mean, and everybody who criticizes Lomachenko and his resume and everything, what about Munguia's? You know, I mean, MB in the chat says, I'm getting bored of Munguia's opposition. Hey, you know what? Welcome to the club. We're all getting bored with his opposition. I mean, I don't get it, man. Let's see here. After that, let me see. The big one after that is going to be Regis Prograis versus Jose Zepeda. That's on the 26th, I guess, Thanksgiving weekend, 12 rounds. But that's going to be on pay-per-view also. And that undercard is not great.
Guess how much that's going to be? That's going to be like $70. It's going to be shown on Fight TV. they're charging $70 bucks for the card.
I'm not.
I'll probably buy it because I'm really interested in the main event. But
I'm not interested in anything else, though.
Yeah,
I mean, the undercard is awful.
Really poor.
Yeah. That's terrible, man. They also have on the 26th, Zach Parker versus John Ryder. You know, so on the Zone. Or no, that's on the ESPN Plus. So, yeah, man, not good. Not good. $70 for the Regis Prograis pay-per-view? Are you serious?
Yeah. A little bit pricey, man.
You think? That's crazy. $70?
I like Prograis a lot, man.
I do too, but not $70 worth, man. Not if you're, no.
Talent-wise, in my opinion, he's the best at 140. Obviously, you know, he's still got to, win the fights and get the titles, but I always liked Regis Prograis, man. I was always high on him.
Yeah, I have too. I like him too. Yeah, it was a razor close decision. That fight could have went either way with him and Taylor.
I thought he won, but
I had Taylor winning, you had Prograis winning, but it was very close on both of our cards.
Absolutely, I had it 115 and 113.
I think that's what I had it for the other way, you know. Yeah. All right, let's go to Robert 530. You're live.
Hello, guys. How are you?
What's up, man?
Well, I tell you what, that Montana Love situation was crazy last night. Absolutely great. I could not believe what I was seeing. It's like, wait a minute, what did you just do, pull a WWE move? I mean, I couldn't believe it. I thought I was seeing things. Like, wow. I hope that he gets some sort of punishment because, you don't need to enable these people. When they do something stupid, you can't say, oh, the other people made a mistake. I mean, I watched multiple replays, and I seen it live, and you can't change the picture that you saw. I mean, I don't know why people are covering up for this dude. I think he was on his way to losing this fight, and probably convincingly the way it looked. I know that this is going to stir it up for a rematch, but, wow, I don't think he deserves to fight for a while, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. I think he should. I think he should be suspended. I think he should be fined. I think what he did was, he was uncalled for. Like I said, you could see him physically throw him over the top.
Yeah, and thank God that Steve Sparks had the wherewithal to, you know, basically land on his feet. You know, I mean, we already have one fighter, and I'm sure you're going to talk about it later, that's currently in the hospital. Another one could have wound up in the hospital. I mean, that could have turned out really horrible.
Are you talking about the guy from last week?
Yeah.
Is he still in? I don't know that he's still in.
Yes,
I know he was in a medically
in.
Induced coma, but...
Yeah, he's still in as of Friday, Eric.
Wow.
So...
Wow.
Yeah.
A shame.
And, you know, I watched that fight and... You know, it looked like a regular knockout. It didn't look like, you know, anything serious had taken place. But I guess that just goes to show you.
It's all the punishment leading in, you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess that goes to show you referees and corners need to take better looks at fighters who are losing because, Stevenson a few years ago. He was involved in that title fight, and, of course, he ended up getting knocked out, and he was never the same. So, you know, people need to start paying better attention to things.
Agreed.
Yeah. And as far as Jana Beck in that fight, I thought that was real competitive. I thought the right person won the fight. And Jaime Munguia, by the way, is his number one contender. So what's the matter with Golden Boy? The WBA forced Golden Boy to give Zerto the shot at B-ball. So does the WBO have to force De La Hoya to put Munguia in the ring with Jana Beck?
Well, Munguia is the number one contender. Is that what you said?
Yeah, he's a mandatory.
He's supposed to be
the mandatory, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not pushing that fight. That fight, son.
The point is, Eric, he needs better opposition than what Oscar's giving him. I mean, my God, how many fluff knockouts do you need to get? Don't you need to eventually find out how good this guy is? If he's the goods, you've got to put him in against somebody to find out what you've got.
All De La Hoya's fighters are like that. All of them. Garcia, Munguia, all of them.
Yeah.
He's going to protect them as long as he can. He's pulling out like another Al Heyman or whatever, protecting these guys as long as they can. Nobody's going to fight anybody. It's just kind of, you know, they're going to give them in-house fighters and call them the baddest man on the planet.
Thank God Canelo wised up and left his ass, you know? I mean, could you imagine if Canelo was still there, what kind of fights he would be getting? I mean, at least Canelo saw the handwriting on the wall and said, you know what, I'm going to take my own career in my own hands and do my own thing. I guess other fighters need to start having the guts to do the same sort of thing.
Well, I don't even know if it was that so much as that he got screwed with that contract, you know, and found out they couldn't pay him and he couldn't do what he was told to do and the whole contract fell through because, you know.
I don't know, guys. There's just way too much of this going on in boxing these days. Promoters are protecting fighters. They're not making the fights unless they're absolutely forced to. I'm convinced if the WBA didn't force Zerto to fight Bivol, Zerto would have never got that title shot either.
You know, and I tell you what, for them to assert that, they must have thought Zerto could win. I mean, I thought Zerto could win.
We both thought Zerto was going to win.
I mean, he got pasted in that fight. I mean, he wasn't even close, man.
No.
Close.
So, I don't know. Interesting times in boxing.
His name is Jerry.
What's that?
It wasn't close unless your name is Jerry.
Unless your name is Jerry. Yeah, unless your name is Jerry.
That's cold. That slipped up. I'm sorry.
Why you got to do that?
I don't know. Some of this stuff I can't figure out, man.
All right, Robert. We're going to get rolling here.
All right. See you later.
All right, my man. Keep him on. Boxing, thank you so much. We appreciate it. His question is Jerry going to call in? I don't know. I don't know if he's going to call in or not. Oh, time will tell. Time will tell. What is it with me and people from Baltimore, Beebe?
Remember,
I had the sideline. I had the sideline. Coach C, you know, after I got done whipping him, he was never the same. Wood the same way. After I got done with him, he was never the same. Never called in. Could never call in, man. He probably listens to the show, but he could never call in again. And you know what? I don't blame him. I don't blame him. And now, Jerry, I don't get it, man. These guys cross, but that's what happens, baby. The whole city of Baltimore. I own Baltimore, son. How about that? How about that? What's that?
You're a bully.
Oh, stop it.
No decorum.
No decorum. I own Baltimore. There you go.
Jesus.
716 Buffalo, I believe. You're live. Then again, maybe you're not. All right, 716. Nothing. There you go. All right, Beebe, let's get to the news. Not a whole lot going on. Every time, like, holiday season comes around, this is the worst time for fights. This is the worst time. It really is. You know, because of you got Thanksgiving, then you got Christmas. There's good fights in between there, but come those holidays, close to those holidays, there's nothing, man. There's nothing. It is. Pocket set it right on. Once Florida digs in, the callers are never the same. They don't even want to pick up the phone. I try to tell them. I try to be the nice guy here. I try to be the nice guy. You know, I mean, because I'm from Titletown, I know what kind of damage I can do. I know my own strength. You know what I mean?
You got people on the switchboard, and then you go to them, and they freeze up, man.
They freeze up. They know it's coming. They know it's coming. They know it's coming. I got to be honest with you. If I was Baltimore, I'd do the same thing. I couldn't do it either. Philly Drew says, Jerry. Thank you so much, Philly Drew. And I have a response to that. Silent. Baltimore, there's some, I don't know what it is, Beebe. I don't know what it is. They think they can come to Titletown and run it, and they just get one every single time. It's bad, son. It's bad. Yeah, it's off, man. Jerry says, I got owned last week. It was a KO. You got most of that right. You were owned, and it was a KO. Yes, that's correct. Baltimore, Lorta in the house. That's right. That's me. There you go. All right, Beebe, your boy that you're going to pay $70 to see, Jose Zepeda, has been cited for battery. Did you hear about this, Beebe? Cops tell TMZ Sports officers were called to a gym in Baldwin Park after a man claimed Jose Zepeda had punched him in the stomach. Really? You called the cops for that? You called the cops because somebody punched you in the stomach?
I mean, if you do that in Beantown, you do that where I'm from, man, forget about it.
Wow, man.
Forget about it.
Who does that?
Who does that, man?
Who does it? Who calls the cops because somebody punched you in the stomach? In the face, I get it. Because anything, you know, in the stomach?
I would have shook it off, man.
You guys are soft.
I would have shook it off.
You guys are soft, son. According to a Baldwin Park Police Department, when the officers arrived on the scene, the man told them that Zepeda was training in the gym when the fighter unexpectedly hauled off and socked him. So what? I guess this guy was, like, in the gym?
Another fighter and got punched by Jose Zepeda.
Well, I heard the guy was, like, 40 or something, wasn't he? I thought he was, like, older or something like that. I thought he was, like, in his 40s. And I'm like, yeah. He got punched in the stomach. So why? You're in the gym?
You're in the gym, man.
You're in the gym. Come on.
Don said the Beebe would call. I got roughed up by the cashier at friggin' Stop and Shop the other day. I didn't say nothing.
Man. So that kid looked at you sideways. He walked out of there.
That 16-year-old got me in a headlock, man, at the register. I said, no, Moss, and I walked out. That was it.
They call the cops on him.
Maestro said the Gypsy King will be fighting in a few short weeks, and so will the Inouye. So we definitely got that to look forward to, no question. He's right. Officers say they couldn't find any witnesses of this. He just hauled off and busted this guy in the stomach. No video, no nothing. And, there's usually cameras in the gym, no?
No. I've known.
Really?
Yeah.
There's cameras everywhere now.
They don't want cameras in the gym. They don't want people to see you train. Like a lot of these guys don't want to be photographed when they're training. They want everything to be kept, to themselves. They don't want to give away any of the game plans and stuff.
I'm talking about like security cameras, not like, yeah, like security cams.
What, in the gym itself?
Yeah.
No, I've never seen it.
Every gym I've ever been to has security cams in it. But I go to high level gyms. But I go to high level gyms. You know what I mean? I go to high level gyms. You know what I mean?
So, the gyms do you go to? Friggin', what are those gyms called?
Orange Theory? What is it, Orange Theory? What was the other one back in the day? Moore's Nautilus?
What do you go to? Nautilus Plus? Females only? What gyms do you go to with his cameras there?
I don't like to be bothered at the gym, you know what I mean? So I go to these obscure gyms, you know?
Which gyms do you go to? The same gym the Kardashians go to with his cameras there? Was it like a reality show?
It's not bad.
Wait.
It's not that bad. It's not as bad as you think.
Never know.
It should not affect the fight with Pearl Grace. So there you go. Yeah, Planet Fitness has security cams. Thank you, Reese Mac. There you go.
Do they really?
Planet Fitness?
That's where I go.
You've never seen a security cam? But you better not ever be a thief or something like that. You get caught like that. Just boom.
I stole a Gatorade out of the freaking chest the other day. I hope they didn't catch me.
Where the creeps go, Eric. I'm still tripping off a guy who goes into a boxing gym, gets punched in the stomach, and then calls the cops.
And he was a fighter.
Was he really? That was the whole thing. Like, the dude wasn't just there visiting some other dude. He was like,
I heard he was a fighter. I could be wrong. That's what I heard.
He had gloves on and got popped, and he calls the cops. That's horrible, man. That guy, yeah. He was cited with a battery, but nothing. I don't think anything formal has been on there yet. All right, so let's talk about the WBC here, B. They held their annual or whatever they do to do the rankings or whatever. I don't think it was their annual. I don't know. The WBC gets together from time to time and does this nonsense, okay, where they say, okay, it's time to make the mandatories. All right. So one of the mandatories they did was Shakur Stevenson versus Isaac Cruz. This was ordered by the WBC. This means absolutely nothing. Doesn't mean anything. But this is the fight that one of the fights that I thought was interesting being tossed around. Isaac Cruz is on one side of the street. Shakur is on the other side of the street. How many weeks are going to go by before this doesn't happen?
Cruz already said. They already said they didn't want it. His team and his handlers already said they didn't want it. They're saying Shakur Stevenson is not an exciting enough fighter. We don't want to chase him around the ring. We don't want that fight, they said.
You just want to get knocked out by Tank again? I mean, I don't know. I don't understand, Well, he went the distance with Tank. He's a good fighter, but they know he can't beat Shakur, right?
Well, I mean, he turned down the Ryan Garcia fight. Now he's turning down this fight. I mean,
that's a lot of money there, right? I mean, the Ryan Garcia fight is more money than the Shakur fight. Why would you turn that down?
They offered him $1 million for the Garcia fight, and he turned it down. His team turned it. Him and his team turned it down. He turned it down.
Who's his team?
I mean,
like, seriously.
PBC fighters, man. I mean, I don't know what's going on over there, like, but Jesus Christ.
I know. I don't get it, man. Maestro says, what kind of gyms is Eric going to? Never mind about that. Just keep it quiet, all right? Don't worry about it.
Those aerobics classes.
That stuff works.
Cut it out.
I'm very flexible now.
Jesus.
That and Pilates? You don't... I can't be the only one who does Pilates. Come on.
Hit the weights, kid. Please, hit the weights.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's good. The Cruz has been in the Mayweather protection plan. All hype, never sold a ticket in his life. Yeah, I mean, You know, and Cruz is a good fighter. That's the thing. That's the worst part about this. Cruz is a good fighter. And I would like to see him fight Shakur. I don't think he beat Shakur. That's a good fight, though. But, yeah, they're not taking it. So, yeah. Like I said, the WBC, all that stuff means zero. Spence and Thurman ordered by the WBC. So let me get this right. Errol Spence said he wasn't fighting Keith Thurman. The WBC has issued Keith Thurman as the mandatory welterweight challenger. That's right, mandatory. Over Boots Ennis, over Virgil Ortiz, he has fought one time. One time Thurman has fought one time since August of 2019. He has fought one time. And somehow, magically, he is the number one contender. Beeb, I want you to explain that to me.
Well, what's crazy, as you said, Ortiz, Virgil Ortiz was the WBC number one contender. And how conveniently he got moved out of that spot and Keith Thurman was inserted in it. Once again, this is the PBC making a phone call to Mauricio, calling in a favor, right? And now Spence, who had said he'll never fight Thurman ever, now he has a get-out-of-jail-free card. Now he can say, well, he's my mandatory. I have to fight him now. I don't want to, but I have to.
Yeah.
And it just plays itself out, works out. Like it's the perfect scenario right now. I'm just not excited for the fight.
No, it's going to be another $80 fight. Keith Thurman is way past his prime. He's past the expiration date.
Hasn't impressed me in a while.
Keith Thurman.
Really hasn't. So
he fought Manny Pacquiao in what, August or July of 2019.
Didn't look great in that fight either.
No, he didn't look great at all. You know, if any time if he was going to get Pacquiao, that was the night. He should have beat him. He absolutely should have beat him.
He's not supposed to lose that fight.
No, he wasn't supposed to lose that fight.
I picked against him. I didn't think he was going to win. But
I remember I was the idiot who picked for him. You know, I said,
Most people were picking him.
Yeah.
Was, you know.
First round, that fight was over. First round. When he got set down by Pacquiao, that was the fight. He knew right then he couldn't get in front of him. He couldn't do anything with him. That was the fight. Insane. Just insane.
Amazing.
So yeah, now Spence and Thurman are going to fight, a fight nobody wants to see. Crawford and Avanesian want to fight, a fight nobody wants to see. Did you watch the UFC last night? UFC, I think it was 281 or 282, one of those two.
I did not.
Israel Adesanya fought Pereira. Awesome fight. He lost in his fifth round knockout. It was an awesome fight, though. It was back and forth. Really good fight. The Chandler, Chandler and Poirier fight, back and forth, fight of the year right there. All of those fights. The Wiley Zhang fight, she won the title. It was awesome.
I love her.
I do, too. She's awesome.
She's awesome.
Every fight on that card was good. Every single one of them. And there was at least two or three fights. The top, those three fights, I really wanted to see. The other two were okay. You know, I didn't really care, but they were good fights, right? But I wasn't really interested in them. I was interested in the top three fights. In every one of them, you know, they happen. Why can't we get this in boxing? This is what happens when you have multiple people controlling multiple people. You know, it's hard to put these fights in. Whereas in the UFC, if we want to see a fight, that fight's going to happen.
You know, the thing is this. I made a statement of not this last roundtable, probably the roundtable before, because there was rumors that like Showtime is going to be bought up by Paramount Plus. And I think we talked about it on the show as well. And then also it was said that Fox doesn't want to really be involved in boxing anymore with the PBC. And I said to myself, you know what? I hope a lot of these other, like I hope, I shouldn't say this, but I hope like Showtime stops showing boxing. And I hope Fox stops showing boxing. Because everyone's like, oh, wow, what are you talking about? The more platforms, the better it is. No, it's not.
Yeah, I don't know that it is.
Not it's proven that it's not, because there's so many platforms and there's too many fighters spread out around these platforms, and
these platforms have network deals, and you know these promoters have network deals with these platforms, I should say, and these fights can't get made. So maybe if some of these platforms stop showing boxing, and then these fighters, and again, people will, why would you say that now? Where the fighters going to go? They're going to find a home. These fighters are good enough where they're going to find a home either on DAZN or ESPN or what have you, right? And maybe even Sky Boxer over in the UK. These fighters can go over there. But if some of these platforms, like if Showtime and Fox fails, or not even fails, but if Showtime stops showing boxing and Fox stops showing boxing, right? Better for us. Because now these other fighters will go onto the other platforms, and it gives us a better chance of seeing these fights get made. Now you could argue, well, Beeb, what about Terrence Crawford? He's a free agent now too. Well, you know, it's a PBC thing, and I hate to say that I want to see PBC fail, but PBC I just don't think they're good for boxing. They're like Steve Kim says, they're the common denominator in all these big fights not getting made.
Yeah.
So maybe if they get taken out of the equation and these fighters go somewhere else, it gives us a better chance of getting some of these fights made.
How much? And I think we reported on it. I'm not 100% sure. The Deontay Wilder fight, I guess that was on pay-per-view or whatever. How much money was that?
Was that 70 or 80?
I think it was like 70 or something like that. 70. It might have been 80. Yeah, but it was between that. How many? Did we see how many buys that got? I heard it was less than 100,000.
75, 77.
Yeah, it was awful.
It was embarrassing.
Like, and why do you keep putting these on pay-per-view? You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand that.
That's
why don't you do like the old Don King thing, where at least you could put if you're going to make a mediocre fight a pay-per-view, put a couple of other fights on there that people want to see. You know? Boxing,
yeah.
Thank you so much. He said, is Jerry scared to call in? Listen, I own Baltimore. Of course he's scared. What are you going to do? I don't blame him. Maestro, he said, what if you want to see a guy from USC versus a guy from Bellator 1 or Ryzen? Well, that's a great point because there is Bellator and there is, you know, 1 and Ryzen. But the thing is that most of the guys, if they're that good, they get out of Bellator because Bellator is usually that second tier where those guys are coming in from. And usually when their contract's up, they go to the UFC and you'll see that fight.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to – the UFC is not going to negotiate with Bellator or 1 or Ryzen. That's where we got Ben Askren from was number – I think it was 1, I believe.
Yeah. UFC has the best fighters. That's the difference. And no disrespect to Bellator, but they usually get the UFC fighters who are their prime, and they go back to Bellator. They go down to Bellator. Once Chael Sonnen couldn't win anymore in the UFC.
He went right down to Bellator, yeah. And Ryan Bader was their champion for a long time. Ryan Bader got – owned by John Jones in there. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
He got smashed.
But the Bellator and 1 are like the minor leagues, bro, and UFC is like the pros.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Yeah. Harley One Forever, he said, thank you so much. He said, everybody hit that like button. Best boxing channel on YouTube. Hey, listen, I can't disagree with it. I can't. Beep, can you disagree with anything he said? I can't. Nando Yamas, thank you so much. He said, crap on Munguia if you want, but Showtime/PBC killed 3 big fights this year. Bud and Spence, Tank and Ryan, and Jamal and Munguia. When you're right, you're right. Honestly. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey, speaking of Maestro, man, did you see on Twitter, and everybody knows that Maestro works, I guess he works for a school. He's trying to get a boxing team together at a school. So he's soliciting like mats and that kind of thing and everything like that. And if anybody has any equipment, that's really a cool thing to do. No, you're not impressed by it, Beeb. You're not impressed by it. He works for the kids. He's trying to give the youth of America and New York something to do. And you just took a dump.
You know what Beeb Industries has already done?
What has Beeb Industries already done?
We've already given him a stipend. We're ahead of the game. We're ahead of the game, man.
You just took a dump. This guy's trying to do something positive for the kids of the community, and you just took a dump all over it. I was really impressed when I read that. I was like, you know, when I saw that tweet, I was really impressed by it. And I was like, you know what? That's a good thing. That's a very nice thing to do. That's a very good thing to do. It's a very selfless thing to do. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to mention it on the air. What I did not expect is my co-host to take a dump all over the story. That's what I did not expect.
When you see the facility with the bags hanging and a Beeb Industry logo
Beeb
on the bag.
Beeb Industry logo on it?
You'll know that we've made an impact. You'll know that we've made an impact.
The Beeb Industry logo.
You'll see it.
You're a fool, son. You're a fool. So Maestro helps kids. Beebs helps himself. There you go. That's the difference. That's the difference. All right, Beeb, let's talk about this WBC even more here because, let's see here. Oh, first off, boxing, thank you so much. He said, does Jerry speak pure facts like he says he does? Is that pure or pure facts? Could be a mistype, but, hey, I read it like you type it. There you go. Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. All right. So, Beeb, let me tell you this. This one really bothers me, and maybe it doesn't bother everybody, but I tell you right now it bothers me. So at this WBC conference, Jerry, I'll take your call. If you're on hold, I'll take your call. Don't be scared of you here. I own Baltimore, remember? All right. So the WBC has removed Russian and Belarusian boxers from the rankings, and therefore they won't be eligible to fight for any of the organization's titles because of Russia's ongoing invasion in Ukraine. WBC President Mauricio Sulaiman announced on Tuesday during the sanctioning body's convention in Acapulco, Mexico. I think this is absolutely 100% unwarranted by the WBC. The Russian and Belarusian fighters have absolutely nothing to do with this war. They live there. They're from there. Maybe they live there. Maybe they don't. I would guess a majority of them don't live there anymore, you know? And, you know, who are you to take this away from them? The WBC is not, they're not a political body. This is sports. Sports should not run into politics. Those are two different things. If you want to take that stand of not having title fights in Russia or Belarus, I gotcha. Okay, no biggie. I getcha. But to actually ban those fighters from the rankings is terrible.
I have no problem having fights in Saudi after seeing what they did to Yemen.
Right, yeah, you have no problems there. Yeah, no problems there.
I hate to make this political, but then you hear terms like illegal war. Don't let me go down the list of
all
illegal.
Wars illegal. I mean, really, let's face facts here. Civilians get killed. Aren't all wars illegal? I mean,
yes.
Come on. I mean, realistically. I mean, come on.
You got to pick and choose what's wrong and what's not wrong.
Right. Right. I don't understand, Beeb. I mean. How is it? I don't understand. Like, do they have an avenue to sue these guys if they wanted to?
Yeah, that's a great question because it's xenophobic. It's xenophobic. You know, if you've earned a spot, then you've earned a spot. You know, they're not stripping like the Russian fighters of titles. Like, it's Better Be still has his titles.
Right.
You know, Bivol still has his titles. Technically, he's half Russian, half, you know, Korean, whatever. But I don't know. I think they're setting a precedent.
Okay, so he's half Russian. So what? Does he not have the title now?
He still has the title. So they're allowing fighters to keep their titles. He has a WBA title.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Better Beef does have the WBC title, and he's allowed to keep his title. So they're not taking titles away from fighters who already have won them. But like I said, they're sliding down a slippery slope here now because now they're opening the door for people to call them out on their inconsistencies like they always do. So now when you see a country go to war, are you going to ban the fighters from that country if you don't agree with the war?
Right.
Why is this war and these lives worth more than the other wars and other lives that have been lost? Again,
what Saudi
to Yemen is horrific, right?
Yeah, and I mean, Clarissa in the chat says she brought up a really good point. Them not being ranked doesn't affect Russia. It doesn't. It only affects those guys.
all these sanctions and stuff that you, that they've done to Russia haven't hurt Russia as much as they believe that it did. It hurt us just as bad, because look what happened to our gas prices. Look what happened to the cost of our food.
Inflation, yeah. Look at the inflation.
You know who the largest exporter of wheat is in the world? You know who it is?
Ukraine.
Russia.
Or was it Russia?
Right. And you know wheat and everything.
Pastas,
breads, and cookies, cakes, all the good things you like to eat. And that's why everything is through the roof right now, man.
Right.
When I'm doing my Instacart orders, I'm seeing them, the prices change. I still give them the tips still going to get a good tip if you shop for the beef. Don't fret.
This is the one right there. Have they banned vodka yet? They ain't banning vodka, you know. They're not banning that, you know. I think it's silly. I think it's a dumb move. And again, what about all the other wars in the world? You know, what about that? What about all the other wars in the world? If you're going to take a stand here, then what about all the injustices in the world that you can take a stand on as well? Are you going to do that as well?
I mean, that, you know, there's been so many wars that you can sit there and say were illegal, quote unquote, illegal wars. I love when I hear that, illegal wars. Oh my God.
Illegal wars. Yeah. Cause civilians don't get killed in other wars. They just get killed in illegal wars. That's right. There you go. Let's see here. Data Ender says, talking about Montana Love should be banned for a few months after harassing the ref as well. I agree. I agree. Montana Love has no business anywhere in the fight game right now. That's for sure. That's for sure. So let's see here. All right. We have Jerry waiting in line. It's 410, and I know, Beeb, that's Baltimore because I own Baltimore. Hello. Jerry, good evening, Jerry.
what part of Baltimore do you own? The city?
All
you
of
can
it.
Have the city.
All of it. East Block. I own East Block as well. So there you
okay.
go.
Okay. Well, you can have the city. It's worthless.
You know about East Block, yes? You don't know about East Block? Are you even from Baltimore? Come on. Not all. Jerry, what did you think of Janet Beck this weekend?
You know, the guy, his opponent was unheralded, but he came to put up a tough fight. He got off to a slow start. For me, you're going to love this. Jenna Beck, as far as I'm concerned, is a paper champion. Who did he beat to get that title? He didn't beat anybody to get that belt.
Yeah.
I try
anytime
to
you win the belt like that. Hey, anytime
that?
You win the belt like that, but said anytime that you win the belt in that type of fashion, you're open to criticism. I mean, whether it's fair or not, I mean, it's the truth. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be that if the title became vacant, what would happen is the number one contender would fight the very next available contender, and that's how he became a champion. Nowadays, the sanctioning bodies just award the title to who they want to have it. Just like they did with Devin Haney. And they've done the same thing with Jenna Beck. Now, Jenna Beck's a good fighter, just like Haney. Anyone can see that. But I like my champions to earn their title in the ring, you know, even if he wound up fighting the fifth highest contender. Because, like I say, you know, it used to be that's how it would be. That way you can earn the title and you can say you won the title. Like if you say, man, remember that night Jenna Beck won the title? No, you don't remember the night because he was no night. You know, he just had the title awarded to him. Now, his opponent, when I seen the guy, I hadn't seen the guy before, but looking at his dimensions and stuff, I thought this guy could be tricky if he came to fight. And that's just what he was. He was durable and he was tricky, but I had Jenna Beck winning the fight by a couple, two or three points. There were some swing rounds in there. Don't make me get off on the competitive argument again, but I would say it was a competitive fight. And Jenna Beck, you know, pulled through, and now, you know, we'll see what lies in store for him. I did want to talk, though, also about the Montana Love. We're definitely in agreement there. I mean, a guy deserved to be disqualified because just like you said, Dweeb, that, you know, what happens if he gets thrown out of there and he breaks his neck? or he hits somebody on the way down and injures somebody. You can't do that shit. He clearly did it on purpose. He knew that he was on his own route to losing the fight, and he'd rather take a DQ as opposed to just taking a square loss. And the way his corner reacted in light of it, and Eddie Hearn, the piece of shit that he is, I mean, the whole thing, if you ask me, not only does he should he have been DQ'd, he also should be fined.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
He should be fined, too.
Yeah. Now, I do want to say also regarding the PBC, you know, it's a damn shame, man. 4 years ago, the PBC was the host of boxing. They were putting on lots of good cards. The welterweight, all their fighters were, like, making for good matchups. They weren't making any cross-promotion fights, but I really can't fault them for that because that rarely happens for any promoters. They don't often make cross-promotion fights, but they Showtime was giving them lots of dates, and they were putting on the pay-per-views on Fox, and they were the host of boxing, and it all looked real good. Problem is Showtime has lost like half of its subscribers. Its format for movies, which has always been its biggest selling point, is antiquated now, and people get movies through Zulu or Netflix, and they don't pay a $30 a month subscription. And this has hurt Showtime. It hurt HBO, and they got out of boxing. That's partly the reason why. So Showtime doesn't have the budget to pay for the extras, which is like boxing. They rely more on original programming now to try to keep their subscription base, and this is hurting the PBC big time. Now, has Heyman made mistakes along the way? Sure, he has. But I think from what I can see, the biggest problem is PBC, Showtime is not buying boxing right now, you know, due to the massive lack of popularity with boxing. And them losing their subscription base, and it's directly affecting the PBC because that's who was selling them boxing.
Jerry, let me ask you this: would you be sad to see the PBC fold up their tent and go home? Would you miss PBC from boxing? And do you think it would be good if PBC kind of did dissolve and these other fighters went to other platforms? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I mean, you said a few minutes ago, and I'm feeling pretty agreeable tonight. I came down with the Rona the other day, so I'm not feeling too hot right now. Thank you. The point that you made a minute ago is something that I've thought about too. On one hand, I do kind of believe that the less providers is, you know, the less, you know, that is not too good for us. I mean, PBC just put a card on what last weekend was a pretty good card if you're a boxing fan. They had the Wilder card a couple weeks prior, which I didn't buy that. That was an overpriced pay-per-view, which is what you see them doing now to try to help finance their boxing business. They don't have the support of Showtime, so they that's why these fights in the last 2 years are winding up on pay-per-view. But what you also said, there's something to be said for that too. It may be that you know, on the surface, one less provider doesn't seem like a good thing, but you know, if you scratch the surface, it could be a better thing. That because, like you said, with the exclusive network deals, this is what's preventing a lot of fights from happening. And so, you know, those fighters that the PBC have, you know, if they flush out to other networks and other promoters, perhaps it could be a good thing. So I really don't know for sure. You know, on the surface, I feel like the more providers we have, the better. But like you said and pointed out, that there's something to be said for that too.
Because you have to ask yourself the question: is more always better? If the quality isn't good, does it matter that you're getting more of something?
Yeah, it depends on the person.
I mean, the quality is definitely not there right now.
Quality has not really been. Yeah.
Not now.
I mean,
but
you think about it. You think about this, like years ago, Ryan Garcia and Gervonta Davis, that fight would have already happened because they're two up-and-coming guys. You know what I mean? Like they're jockeying for position in the big, you know, for the big pay-per-views and everything like that. That fight would have probably already happened back then. It's not going to happen here. They're going to toy around with it. That fight's not coming off.
But what's going on with this David Benavidez Caleb Plant fight? Because they're saying that the fight is going to happen. It's set, but no date, no venue, nothing. So what's going on? Have you heard anything about this, or am I missing something?
I haven't heard anything about it other than they've agreed to fight. That's it, and that the fight should take place somewhere. Somebody was saying it's February, but it's not. Nothing's been placed on the table or anything like that.
I wouldn't be surprised if the fight winds up on an app, because right now the PBC, there's a great big question mark over top of their finances, and they're scrambling to try to keep things afloat. And I wouldn't be surprised, the reason there's no date and no venue yet is because very likely, I believe very likely the reason for that is because their financial house is in such disarray that they're trying to keep up an image of, all right, we're still in the game, but they're scrambling. They're probably looking for financiers. They're probably looking for alternate routes to be able to air the fights. I mean, hell, you just seen Mayweather was on DAZN last night. That tells you all you need to know, He was on that card.
I was just about to say
that.
What does that say? Yeah, Beeb, what does that say? That Mayweather, who's the biggest PBC guy out there, Mayweather Productions, or whatever he calls itself this week, and he was fighting on the Zone, this morning or today, just a few hours ago, fighting this guy, this YouTuber, on the Zone, not even on his own platform, not even on his own, not PBC, nothing, on the Zone.
I told you.
I mean,
really,
you think about that,
that's bad news. I will say this, though,
just tells you
if you don't mind. Benavidez and Plant, that's an excellent, excellent matchup that fight fans have been, hardcore fans have been wanting to see for a couple years now. It's definitely not past its prime. It's probably, if it happens in the, towards the end of the year or early next year, it's excellent timing for it. And I think Plant will come out and make a real quick start, probably maybe even swing the first six rounds, maybe even look like he's outclassing Benavidez at points. But I picked Benavidez to stop him in the second half of the fight, much the same way Canelo Alvarez did. Yeah, Benavidez fights with a lot of pressure, and he's way bigger than Canelo. So if he couldn't hold up against Canelo's pressure, I expect him to do good. And even at times, it'll probably look like, wow, man, he's this is a mismatch. Like, because Benavidez gets hit, his defense is not that good, but he just keeps coming. He's very big and durable. And I see, by the eighth round, it's going to be like, wow, Plant looks beat up. How did he get beat up like this? And by the ninth, tenth round, I don't know, unless he's got the conditioning to run and hope that he can run his way to a decision. I don't know. I like Plant. He's a good fighter, but I got to pick Benavidez in that one.
Yeah, I would go along with that. I like Plant, but I don't see him beating Benavidez. It's just Benavidez. I just don't think he's big. But you know what? What's funny, though, is I thought the same thing about Zerto and Bivol. I thought this fight would, it would look a lot like that, but that's not how it turned out, that's for sure. All right, Jerry, we're going to get running. Thank you so much for the call, man. I hope you feel better, man. Get rid of that COVID. Right. That sucks, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man. All right. Yeah. 971, Portland. Other side of the world, Beeb. Other side of the country. 971, you're live.
Oh, cool. That was quick. I'm the same guy that had that list, and I found there was this amazing fight I found. Tommy Lugran, Lughran, versus Leo, Lomski. Leo Lomski. It is incredible. Okay. I mean, both of these guys, I would take them to beat Bivol, but Bivol is still really good. I think he's way better than Mayweather ever was, man. I don't think it's even close.
You think Bivol's better than Mayweather?
Oh, my God. So much better, man. It's not even close.
There's a couple of intangibles that Mayweather has that Bivol doesn't, and I think makes him a better stylistically fighter. And it depends on what, if you're looking at the first half or second half of his career. In the first half of his career, he couldn't be hit. He was just untouchable, Beeb, what do you think about that?
He has the potential.
Yeah, there's a case to be made for potential.
potential, but Mayweather has done it for so long, and he had a great great accomplishments in the sport. You know,
I want to say I like him. I like Mayweather just fine.
Yeah, there he is.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know if I came through. I want to say I like him just fine. I noticed that the 16 champions thing, I noticed because of the four belt era, I noticed that most of the 16 were WBC. And I know back in the day, the WBC was prestigious, but I noticed, I don't know if you guys noticed now, but as of late, the WBC seems to have their hand in the judges' pockets. And, It's really fake. And the WBC guys, they'll let their guys not fight for like 2 years, and they'll give them like opponents that are just like, what? These are not opponents, you know?
Yeah, I you know, but I think that's going on. I think that's gone on with the WBA as well. The WBO is another one, and all the sectional bodies do that, where they'll get a number one contender like completely out of nowhere, and you're just like, I've never heard of this guy, and he goes out there and gets flattened, you know? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I just noticed that with the records, the 50-0 don't mean much to me, because there are just all these people say like, oh, Ray Robinson, you know, 75-0 undefeated. But there was 75-0 was like not even a big deal back then. There was a ton of 75-0s, and I don't know. It's just so cool. I got a remastered list. I'm going to drop it in the comments in the chat, and I got this playlist.
Yeah, for sure.
I have seen every bit of film because I only need to watch like 20 seconds to like see if they're better than anybody I'd ever seen or if they make the cut.
Right.
I got this incredible playlist. It's got really strict. I mean, it's really cool. Anyway, I wish you guys well. All right,
man. We'll drop it in there. Let's check it out.
Bye, guys. Have a good time.
All right, man. Good deal. Right, man. Portland. Yeah, he comes up with some pretty good fights, man. Is Bivol, this is a good one, man. Is Bivol better than Ward? King KO says yes.
Oh.
I don't think so. That's just me.
Yeah, I'm a big Ward.
But I'm a big Ward fan, too. I don't know. It's not a bad fight. I think Ward, because Ward is just as slick as Bivol. I mean, he really is.
Yeah,
Ward is just as slick. He's got that
Ward's
dog,
gritty,
you know.
He's gritty.
Yeah.
Very gritty.
Yeah, I would have to favor Ward in that. I just would. But
Ward, too.
Hey, listen, I can't. It's hard to pick against Bivol right now. I mean, listen, who's fighter of the year right now? Got to be him.
I give it to Bivol, yeah.
It has to be, right? Who else could it be? Realistically, this guy beat Zerto Ramirez.
Look how many guys only fought one time this year.
That's getting more and more common, though, right? I mean, right? That's getting more and more common.
Pacheco fought once. Obviously, we know why, but Usyk fought once, but we know why that
yeah, you can't really hold that against him, but you can't give him Fighter of the Year either.
Joshua fought once. Lots of guys fought once.
Yeah.
David Benavidez fought once. Caleb Plant fought once.
Yeah.
Right? All the guys fought once. Did Javante Davis fight this year? Who did he fight this year?
I thought he did, but I couldn't remember.
If
he did, it wasn't anything we're jumping out of our seats to remember.
Yeah. Great.
You know? I don't get it.
Bananas, bro.
You mentioned this a little while ago, that Roy Jones Jr., it's possible that he may be working with Anthony Joshua for Joshua's next fight. Steve, I think that's a bad move. I think that, you know, Joshua, I liked what I saw, you know, I think he needs to stick with one guy. I think he needs to stick with Robert Garcia if he's going to do something.
I mean, one and done with Garcia? Give him a chance. I mean,
right.
You know what I think it is Garcia was honest in his assessment after the fight. And, you know, he's critical that Joshua didn't want to come to the U.S. He didn't agree with the move. So maybe there was some friction there. I don't know, but
well, you got to listen to it though. I mean, don't you? I mean, really? I mean, if you're a fighter and your trainer is criticizing the things you do, I think you have to listen. Because this guy is here to help you. He wants you to win. It's in his best interest if you win.
Yes, yes. You got to let the trainer run the camp. I wholeheartedly believe that. Just like when Teddy Atlas was like telling friggin' Povetkin, I need you to come here, and he wouldn't do it, so Teddy Atlas left. But the thing is this, Joshua seems to be running everything. So how do you improve if you're the one calling the shot all the time? Like, I know you're the boss, you're the captain of your own ship. But once that training camp starts, you better turn your trust over to that trainer.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Yes. Yes.
That's what I believe.
Clarissa asked, he said, didn't Canelo fight three times? Maybe, but he didn't win all three. And that's typically...
He didn't fight twice this year. He didn't fight three times this year, twice. Yeah, he only fought twice this year. Fought Bivol. When did he fight Bivol? He fought Bivol earlier in the year, and then he fought Golovkin in September.
Wow.
He fought Bivol in May.
I had no idea. He was even sick, man.
Who?
Anthony Rumble Johnson. I just saw it in the chat. Somebody, who had it? Who had it? Somebody had it. Team Batman had it. Anthony Rumble Johnson from the UFC. He said he died of organ failure due to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He was 38.
Oh, that's so horrible, man. Wow, that's sad. Damn.
And he also had, I can't pronounce it, but something wrong, a rare disorder of his immune system as well. So that also contributed to what happened, I guess.
Wow. I didn't hear that. They didn't even put that out there.
Yeah, I guess, I didn't even, like I said, man, I didn't even know he was sick.
That's a shame, man. Such a shame, bro.
That guy was about 2-something and used to cut down to the welterweight division in the UFC. Anyway, I mean, he was insane. He had to be one of the hardest hitters in the UFC, man. He really was. Wow, that's awful, man. Well, I'm glad you told me. I'm glad we got the news out, but that's sad news, man.
That's
awful. And Billy Dibb was the other one that I talked to you about this week. Former boxer Billy Dibb has been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So definitely thoughts and prayers there. The good thing is that I know, my dad has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I know there's a lot of things that they can do to help you along that journey and everything like that. The recovery rate is better than a lot of other cancers out there. And there's also a lot of options that you can do. So if chemotherapy doesn't work for you, there's other options there. So yeah, it's not good news, but hopefully he'll be okay. You know what I mean? But, yeah, man, that's awful news. Marco Reyes says, Garcia for Anthony Joshua make a difference? Robert Garcia for Anthony Joshua, did he make a difference? I did not notice. Well, you can't, it's hard to notice in one fight. I mean, I think that's the thing. When these guys, this guy's been doing the same thing for so long, then he switches trainers. You got to give him a couple of fights, unless you're just not meshing together, unless you just disagree with him. And if the guy tells you, like, Beeb, if you go get a trainer or whatever, and the guy tells you, I need you to move to L.A. because we got to do this right. I need you to move to L.A. because I think I can get you better sparring out here. I can get you better this, better that, blah, blah, blah. And I think you have to listen to that, right? If you're not going to listen to your trainer, then why do you hire him?
It's like Joshua got all the money in the world. He can relocate anywhere. You know what I mean? Yeah. Rent a house, whatever you need to do, just do it. You're trying to get better. I mean, you already made all the money that you need. You're set for the rest of your life. You got to make these decisions, man, if you want to continue fighting. It's not like, it's a four-round guy who can't travel around the world. I get that if you don't have the resources to do it, but these top level guys have the resources to do it. So why not do it?
Yeah, I don't get it. Because it pulls you out of your comfort zone. Like being in the ring is out of your is not being punched in the face and everything like that. That's in your comfort zone. It's not.
Just setting your ways. I mean,
let me tell you what, B. If you cannot get out of your comfort zone, then what else are we talking about here?
You
know what I mean? I mean, do we really need to have a conversation about it?
Yeah, I mean, you have to have the ability to adapt in the ring, and the only way you can do that is put yourself into uncomfortable situations.
Into the fire, man. That's what you have to do. You know, you're not going to be comfortable 24/7. Come on. There you go. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1, and our YouTube channel is at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.